The following is a presentation of Edgewood Reformed Baptist Church, West Monroe, Louisiana.
Good morning, beloved. This is Pastor Rusty, and this is Thoughts on Our World for Thursday, May the 3rd, 2012. Well, once again, a new story breaking this week that I'm sure many of you have been made aware of with Dan Savage speaking to a group of teenagers at a high school journalism conference, and frankly, the rant that Mr. Savage went on as he demeaned and impugned the message of Scripture, equating homosexuality to slavery, and trying to promote his agenda in that way. And there are a lot of people in the world who are speaking out against Mr. Savage in proper ways, some in not so proper ways, and just speaking to his particular ideology and his belief in homosexuality. But something struck me very, very concerning as I listened to his delivery. And the first thing was that there were some students who left, who got up and left, and they're to be commended. I certainly applaud their taking a stand and leaving, walking out in the face of such obscenity. But I was also very saddened by the reaction of what I would classify as the majority of the students listening to Mr. Savage, and that they were being affirmative of what he was saying. And as I listened to this, as I heard what was happening on this in this conference, a thought came to me that may be actually a little what you would not expect. And it actually came from Mr. Savage himself. Mr. Savage, as he made his delivery, quoted one Old Testament passage from Leviticus, and then I believe there was three other passages, all from the New Testament, Romans, Timothy, and then Philemon. And what I thought was interesting in Mr. Savage's delivery was his complete mischaracterization of the Scriptures to fit his particular ideological bent. And I think he has some difficulty in that for all of those texts, the Levitical law, and then Romans, Timothy, and then Philemon all bring with them the idea of purity and holiness. And Mr. Savage was completely, I think, missing that point entirely. But for our time today, I wanted to focus on one of the texts that Mr. Savage himself brought to the table to demonstrate that his view was correct. And it's the book of Philemon. Now, many Christians probably are unaware that the book of Philemon even exists. And it's a short book. It's only about 25 verses. And it does deal with the Apostle Paul writing to Philemon on behalf of a man who was a slave by the name of Onesimus. And Mr. Savage, as he brought Philemon to the table in his discussion, seemed to put it in a context that the Apostle Paul was condoning slavery and saying that slavery was okay. Now, we need to understand here that for the homosexual community, they are trying to equate a personal life choice in homosexuality with an imposed position of slavery. In antiquity and in history, it is not common for people to choose to be slaves. They're slaves either through indenturedness, they sell themselves into slavery because of financial debts or because of other things beyond their control, or they become slaves at the behest of an invading army. Nobody in antiquity, as a general rule, chooses to be a slave as a lifestyle. That certainly is not the case with the homosexual movement, and I believe Mr. Savage in particular, their choice of homosexuality is just that. It's a choice. They've chosen to do that. But they're trying to make a moral equivalent to something that is imposed upon them. But as he presents Philemon, he's presenting Paul as, and he's putting words in Paul's mouth that slavery is okay, that you should be a slave. And Mr. Savage just completely misses the entire thrust of Philemon, which is a book about restoration, about healing. As a matter of fact, starting in Philemon verse 8, the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to Philemon, says this, "Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment," speaking of his conversion, his spiritual fatherhood there. "Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. Verse 12, I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." It is clear from this major section, and this is almost half of the entire book of Philemon, that Paul's point to Philemon is that Onesimus would not be considered a slave, but that in his newfound regenerated faith, the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, the becoming a Christian, that Philemon would count him as a brother in Christ and not as a slave. Now look, the reality of antiquity, of Paul's day, is that Philemon had every right to consider Onesimus part of his property. That was just part of the society of the day. Now, I'm not saying that's right. I'm not condoning that behavior, but I'm just saying historically that is what that occurred. And that's been the case for human history from the beginning of time even to now. Now, that's not correct. It's not proper from a biblical point of view. But it was reality in history. And so Paul is not here appealing to the changing of society or the changing of history in the same fashion as Mr. Savage is. He is appealing to Philemon on behalf, as a brother in Christ, to implement the mandates of Christianity in that we treat others with respect and dignity, and especially those who are of the household of God. Paul's entire point here is not to command, not to dictate, not to say you must do this, even though Paul certainly had the authority to do so as an apostle, but to appeal to the Christian nature of Philemon, to point him in the direction of these are the teachings of the Lord, this is the teaching of Scripture, our consideration of other people, and not to impose his view upon Philemon in an authoritative way. That is very much contrary to Mr. Savage's point in his discussion, in which he was trying to authoritatively impose his view not only upon the people at the conference, but upon the Scriptures themselves, and by saying, quote, we're to ignore, the Scriptures, unquote. Mr. Savage is imposing his authoritative view upon his listeners, upon the world around him, upon Scriptures. Paul simply is not doing that. Paul is appealing to the nature of Philemon. And he says in verse 8, "Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you." And then he goes into talking about Onesimus and his conversion, speaking of his help, Onesimus' help to Paul in his imprisonment. Paul's at the end of his life. He is about to be martyred. And Onesimus apparently has been of service to him. But even in this moment of need, this moment of Onesimus truly being a help, Paul's desire is for reconciliation not only between Onesimus and Philemon, but through Paul and Philemon. For Paul is the one who is now keeping guard or watching over Onesimus. And so Paul does something that is I think, very radical. He sends Onesimus back, perhaps carrying this very letter to Philemon. Now, we need to understand what is at play here, because Onesimus was a slave that had escaped from the guardianship of Philemon and had gone to Paul, and now Paul is sending him back. And Philemon, according to the mandates of antiquity, could have had Onesimus killed on the spot without any questions. So there's a real risk here for Onesimus as he goes back to Philemon, and that Philemon may kill him and then open the letter and read the letter after he's already killed him. So there's a very real, tangible concern here. But in the face of that, trusting that God's providence would prevail in this case, he sends him back. As a matter of fact, verse 12 says, "I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but by your own accord." And so Paul is just appealing to Philemon to receive Onesimus back, to not kill him, to consider him as a brother in Christ, and to bring about healing and restoration between two people, and more broadly, a group of people over this particular issue. You know, unfortunately, much of the world is missing that, and Mr. Savage certainly has missed that in his discourse, in where he not only called into question the validity of Scripture, but misrepresented Scripture entirely, and painted the Holy Scripture in a very unholy light, simply to prove and promote his agenda. And we shouldn't be surprised by this, because many in the world do this. But I would just encourage us as Christians, as those who are called by Christ, called by the name of Christ, that we would stand up and not refute the world and people like Mr. Savage through our own opinions, but that we would refute what is being espoused by the world and by people like Mr. Savage, refute those ideas, those philosophies, those ideologies through the Word of God. Once you go to the Word of God and read the Scriptures for themselves, you can see clearly, without any necessity of languages or those other things which are necessary, but as we have demonstrated today, just a simple, straightforward reading of the text would yield a much different interpretation than the one that Mr. Savage and the rest of the world is proposing as being the truth and reality of Scriptures, in that, yes, there is a difference between persons. The Scriptures give us that difference between the lost and the saved, regardless of color, creed, ethnicity, sexual orientation. The lost are lost. But however, God, through His mercy, has chosen to save His people through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so there is a difference between persons. There is a distinction between persons. But that distinction is what Scriptures teach as being the Holy Spirit, dwelling Holy Spirit. And we as God's people need to understand this. Is homosexuality wrong? Yes. Homosexuality is clearly wrong by the text that Mr. Savage quoted, and that the others that speak to the wrongness of homosexuality. But homosexuality is no more sinful, no more wrong than any other form of rebellion, whether it be cohabitation, whether it be idolatry, whether it be pornography, whether it be lies, thefts, and murders. You know, sin is sin. And so as God's people, we need to begin to realize this, and we need to apply the Word of God universally to all sin, and do it with gentleness and kindness, in the same line of thought as what Paul does here in Philemon, with the hope and the desire of restoration, of healing, of showing respect and dignity to all people, whether we agree with them or not, and that we might manifest the love of Christ that's been poured out in our lives to a lost and dying world that so desperately needs to hear and to see the reality of the gospel. Well, that's my thoughts on this particular issue, and so I would love to hear your thoughts. As if you would like to drop me a line, you can email me at rusty@iamedgewood.org. That's R-U-S-T-Y at iamedgewood.org. And I would love to hear from you on this subject. So I pray that the Lord would bless you today, and may His grace fall upon you in all that you do.